gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, happy September 26th. And listen, I'm doing everything I can to catch up. I swear that I am. I look at my emails over here. My email, it's so blown up. It just, every time I look at it, I get frustrated because I try to pride myself on answering every email that I get. And trying to wade through them a little bit last night, wading through them a little bit even this morning. Bear with me. I will, in fact, catch up. That's one thing that happens when we go on the road. Sometimes I take my computer. Sometimes the computer has internet connectivity. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I just take my phone. I've been out of town 4 consecutive weekends. I'm not complaining. Praise the Lord that I'm healthy enough and get to go. And the Lord's opened the doors to be able to go. And I lift him up and fight for truth, justice in the American way. I'm not complaining. I'm just giving you the reality of trying to keep up with everything that ministry work requires, paperwork, etc. Be me, be Coach Dave Live. So thanks for bearing with me. If you've sent an email, I haven't got to you. I do apologize to you. Boy, I got a lot of great stuff to talk about. I just said, man, I had the deepest sleep last night. Kind of sleep deprived when we were down there in Texas. And man, last night was, whew. That must be what death is, man. I'm just oblivious to the world. Woke up today a little bit more refreshed, a little bit more focused. Great stuff going on down in Texas. And I want to talk a little bit. I don't want to talk about this the whole time. So bear with me. If you guys are out there and you don't want to hear about it anymore, that's fine. But I have to give credit where credit is due. Then I'm going to talk a little bit about the Tebow issue, the prayer issue, the all that stuff that's going on in the NFL. I got stuff that's going to curl your toes here this morning. So bear with us for that. And then we'll just kind of go wherever the Holy Spirit takes us. And I want to go, as I can, I want to go back to, well, I don't do it yet. Thank you, Lord. No, I don't want to go there. I got a real quick video. Jared, I assume you got all the stuff from me today.
Yep.
We're doing the best we can down in Texas, trying to make America great again, trying to make church great, make America great again. And when my wife and I left after being down in Rockport, we left behind some soldiers. Ray LeBlanc's one of them. And I don't even know if I mentioned Ray yesterday. I did late in the show, thanking him for being down there. He's been, Ray, you've been more than we ever would have expected you to be, Ray, as a guy who's come in. And Big Rich stayed behind, and Jim Bob and Jim Kraft from Ohio, and Ray. They went out and they rented a $700 skid. I don't know what to call them. It was little forklift skids. They did some unbelievable work. Yes, they're going to share that with you. Moving on this morning out of Rockport, although we got a report of a church student that we can work with even more in Rockport. I got to follow up with that today. So our efforts continue on, even though I'm not down there. Don't have to be there. Those guys are, I told somebody the other day, I think I know what a hammer looks like. And I think I know what a screwdriver looks like, but I don't know how to use either one of them. It's just not my gift. And a lot of the stuff down there on the ground right now requires those exact two things. And those guys are working great at it. I want to pull Ray in here real quick before we show the video. Ray, can you give us maybe a little bit of an update? You're still down there in the Rockport area.
Well, I just left it. All right. Cut me off whenever you feel fit, but I get my battery running, so I'm fine. I left Rockport about midnight last night, and I'm about an hour's out of Beaumont, heading to Beaumont. But it was a great, great, great experience, and a lot of feeding, like I said, probably already mentioned it. And, but the hearts, just to touch a couple of hearts of people, this one couple that we went over there yesterday that you rented that backhoe with, it cost us a bundle of money, but they were so desperate. They were going to just chuck. They had brand new hot water tanks. They had all new. They're going to refurbish the whole place. And the storm came and smashed it all up. They were so discouraged. They were throwing away thousands of dollars of stuff. When we came up and cleared all that stuff up with Rich and the Bobcat, they came by and they saw, wow, now I think I'll take it over from here. I think Well, they got hope back, and they started salvaging through stuff where they weren't going to do
that. They could not have done it without you guys, could they, Ray? They couldn't
no
have
way. No, they were despair. They were total despair. And they just happened against the feeding station. So they combined together. When they came to the feeding station first, you got their names, and we went out the next day. And, man, they were happy, happy, happy.
You could rent a bobcat and work for 17 straight weeks down there, and you wouldn't be able to get it off. Folks, you can't imagine just the debris field and all that stuff, but the number of trees that are on top of houses, trees that are on top of cars, trees that are totally blocking any type of repair issues that you can ever get. And as we tried to talk a little about yesterday on the show, we immediately go in to do a rescue mission. That's what we do initially. And then we're out about 5 weeks now. Now it's not rescue anymore. We're beyond rescue. Now we're about rehabilitation and restoration and that's really the kind of stuff that we're about now. And we're moving some of our operations. Sounds like we're a big operation. Some of our guys are moving back up to the Beaumont area where Pastor Dale is and where Chris Keys and those guys are. And we're going to continue to put people on the ground down there. So we could go anywhere. People say, what about Florida? You guys going to Florida? Well, we helped. I think I told you yesterday, we have given, I'm not bragging. You have a right to know. We've given $7,500 to the Oath Keepers. I got a call from Stuart Rhodes, who's the National Director of Oath Keepers, founder, National Director Stuart Rhodes of Oath Keepers. You guys know that organization. There were 55,000 of them, I think, on their email list. And I got a call from Stuart because we had helped them a couple weeks ago or whenever it was. I'd given them money before. And Stuart called and said, listen, Coach, we're in the Everglades and we are dead in the water. He said, by dead in the water, I mean if we don't get some money today, he says, we have money coming in on, you know, what, just GoFundMe or whatever those things are. But he said, we don't get that money for 2-3 weeks yet. If we don't have money right now, we're dead in the water. So we're able to wire them $2,500, kept them funding, kept them up and going. I proudly say this, Ray, and I know that you can attest to this. Our little footprint down there is having a big impact. Now, there are a lot of people down there working. We're just one of many, but our guys have been faithful warriors down on the ground, and they're really, really making a difference. You going to amen that, Ray? Would you agree with that? You probably won't because it looks like you froze up on the computer there, so maybe you got to rejoin.
Hey, Dave, hold on.
I'll throw in an amen for him.
Yeah, go ahead, Chad. I'm sorry, Chad. I didn't see you there.
Okay. That's all right. I'm just going to say one thing about Ray. Also, folks, he's out there wielding that chainsaw with me and Jim. He was out there pulling that firewood and all those trees down and stuff. 67 years old. So we can't use that as an excuse. 67 years old, they're getting it done.
Well, not only that, I hope Ray can hear us. I don't know if he can. He's probably going to rejoin us. Ray is one of those guys. Folks, listen, this is what life's about, man. Turning tragedy into triumph. Ray lost his wife about a year ago, and he's just kind of been trying to just traveling kind of aimlessly, living out of a trailer that he drags, kind of living aimlessly. And he showed up at one of our Hear the Watch, not Hear the Watch, I'm sorry, our conference that we did in Ohio with L.A. Marzulli and Russ Dizdar. By the way, I got to get Russ back on. I'll get him back on soon, I promise you. Ray showed up at that. He just showed up out of the blue. We shared with him the idea of being a member of the Salt and Light Brigade, and man, oh man, he says, Coach, I'm free, I got time, I'm looking for something to plug my life into, and he's just been doing Herculean efforts for us, and I think there's probably others like him out there. Big Rich, you know, Big Rich doesn't like me to brag on him, I'm going to brag on him. He just recently retired about 8 months ago, 9 months ago, maybe now, could be longer than that, Rich, sorry. And you make a call to Big Rich. He's got a lot of stuff going on. He's trying to build a house. He's got several projects that he's doing. He said, Coach, you call me and I'll be there. And he did all the – he ordered all the meat and all the supplies. And he drove from Granite City. And yesterday not only was just serving meals. Yesterday he was in a bobcat. And I want to play this little video, Jared. I think you have it there. In fact, you're the one that made it for me. Hey, Ray, I was just bragging on you there, Ray. Jump back in here a second, Ray, if you can, before Jared plays that. Ray, I'm just bragging on you how in your life you've taken tragedy and turned it into triumph here in the last year or so. Somebody needs to mute.
That's Ray.
Background noise.
All right. Am I good to go, Dave?
Yeah, go, Ray.
Well, I owe big aspiration to, like, when you had Doug Hagman there for a few minutes, and I gave a shout out to him because he's the one that basically led me down the path to find you. And the Lord was just kind of rearranging my life after my wife passed away. And he said, now that you have no commitments, nothing to hold you back, you've been a Christian and fed all that spiritual food for 40 years. What are you going to do with it now? Here's the man that can help you. And he started guiding me into your ministry. And I'll tell you, it's been nothing but a blessing. Anybody that I know, there's a lot of people that are married and got kids, and it's very difficult to break away and get involved to the length that, you know, a single person like myself can get involved in. But there are opportunities, weekends, or, you know, a lot of people, when we went to the abortion clinic, they took their 2 weeks vacation or 10 days, and instead of going to the beach or something, they went to the abortion clinic. So there's opportunities, but God really prepared my heart over the years, and I don't know what else to say about it. But.
Well, Ray, you know, Mike and Evie Swanson, who came down from Indiana, brought their two sons.
Yes.
Mike told folks, listen, you got to get if you don't get your kids, children engaged in ministry at a young age, they ain't going to do it when they get old. Train them. You got to show a child how this. Just show them how this thing works, right? Just show them how this thing works. Mike and Evie came down with her two sons, Charles and Gabe. And Mike told me, I was having a discussion with him, thanking him for coming down and everything. He says, Coach, it's important at this time in our life, we homeschool our children. It's important at this time in our lives that our sons understand what young Christian men are supposed to be like. And I thought, oh my goodness, is that ever the truth? We can book knowledge them all we want to. But Mike and Evie, they drove 18 hours, whatever it was, and they came and got boots on the ground with us and cooked meals and fed people. I'm just telling you right now, there are a lot of you right now, you are really missing the boat and an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of your children. I love the activist mommy and her husband, Dr. Patrick Johnson. You know why? They've been taking their kids to the streets from the time they were that high. I love Cal Zastro and his family, what I've seen them done. And Frank Campan. I could go on and on and on with guys who take their families and do ministry together. And isn't it amazing that when you take those families and they do ministry together, they're not hooked up on these things all the time. They're not hooked up on the NFL, not hooked up on movies. They learn how to actively live out their faith, how Christians are supposed to do it. I know I'm talking to a lot of us who lost our own children. I don't mean death. But I know some of you right now that are watching TV, your kids are on the other team. Kids are on the other team. Good question for you. You ready? Did you ever take them and do anything with them spiritually? Oh, you sent them to church camp? Oh, that's good. Did you ever take them? Did you ever take them to an abortion clinic? Did you ever take them to a homeless clinic? Did you ever take them to a gay pride parade? Did you ever take them out and let them confront the evil and see the evil face to face and understand how we are to earnestly contend for the faith? You ever done that? Oh, no. Oh, you sent them on a missions trip to Guatemala. Oh, I get it. I get it. Did you teach them to do anything in their hometown? Huh? See, watch what I say here. Our local school have evidently one of the coaches has been diddlywinked a little girl this weekend. Got her drunk and diddlywinked her. That's all over the press here. We put our children in those type of situations. We put them in. I don't know what to say. I don't know how I got on that. Hey guys, load up your family, take them, and go do something, will ya? Will you do that? Come on. How are they ever going to learn? You're going to send them off to college. You're going to send them off to college. And they're going to become one of those cupcakes or whatever they call them. That's what they're going to become. And if I went down here right now and I said, hey, let me see, I got my glasses on. Let's say I got Chris on there. Right? Well, Chris takes his family. I can't take him. But Chris Melvin and Socia, Matthews, Nell, Lewis. Pharaoh, I went down through there. Most of you have stories of lost children. Most of you do. Why? Because it was Bible story. It's Bible stories. Never living out your faith and earnestly contending for the faith and standing up for Jesus and making a public witness. Never. They look and say, well, it wasn't very important to Dad. Dad, Dad'd rather go golfing than do the abortion. All the time my dad had his time off, dad was out fishing and he's out golfing. Abortion must not have been any big deal. My dad, hell, he never did anything about it. Amen. Somebody can say amen. You don't have to, because I know I'm picking on your toes.
Amen, brother.
It's the truth.
Amen, coach. Can't lump me in that sum, though, bro. My kids grew up out in front of the abortion clinic.
And look at them, huh? Look at them. Look at the Johnston's children. Look at Zastro children. Look at Frank Campana's children. Look at them. Oh, my goodness. Look at Rusty Thomas's kids. Are you kidding me? No, I got to send them to public schools and teach them to worship Ezekiel Elliott and the Dallas Cowboys. Somebody say, I love football. All right, here we go. Let's move on here. Hey, if that hurt, it's supposed to. This is Rich Smith did this video for me yesterday. It cost us $700 to go out and rent this skiff. You guys paid for it. Those of you who are watching and donated, you paid for this. Okay? You brought joy to people that you'll never, ever see. You'll never, ever be able to look them in the eye. And I'm sure, as Ray would tell you, Ray was there, and he saw hope come back into their hearts when all this stuff was removed. And Rich did this little video yesterday. Ray sent me about a bunch of pictures I could show you. I got a bunch of pictures from others I could show you. This is a minute, 32-second video. Big Rich, Big John, Big Bad John. Every day, how's that start? Every day, and arrive, it's 6 foot, 6 weight, 245, kind of broad at the shoulders and narrow at the hips, and everybody knows you didn't get no lip to Big Rich. Somebody said he's born in New Orleans, where he got in a fight over a Cajun queen and a crashing blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fellow to the promised land. Big Rich. Big Rich. Big Rich.
Big Bad Rich.
Here's Big Bad Rich.
All right. We're just finishing up. We loaded up the skid steer. Ray LeBlanc, Jim Kraft, Jim Bob Wilson, and myself. And we came this morning. This was completely destroyed. And we've got 95% of the work done for them. Man, there were trees down, and the whole front of the house is gone. Here's what people's lives consist of. About four or five sofas, about six beds, chairs. I don't know if you can see this pile that we moved today. We moved all the concrete off the porch, busted it up, all the trees Jim cut up, garage door, dressers. This goes back. We moved all this today, past the Salt Ministries, did that. Supposed to have it out by the road, but it takes up about half the yard. It was a big job. But we knocked out 95% for them. We got to get on the road. I think we got a couple more jobs tomorrow. So, here's what your donations did for this family. Can't help them all, but we helped this one.
Amen.
God bless.
Big Rich, Big Bad Rich. Making Christianity look good again. And Ray could attest to this. You can tell this story 1,000,000,000 times, over and over and over. These people could have never, ever got this stuff to the curb. They couldn't have done it. They could not have done it. So they sat there in despair and just kind of looked around and thought, where do I begin? Where did I begin? Well, Big Rich began it for him. Jim Kraft. Jim drove all the way from Ohio. I'm sure he worked that chainsaw like a demon. Sorry, not like a demon, like an angel, like a warring angel. And Jim Bob came with Rich and Ray LeBlanc. And so honored to know those guys. They don't want any credit. They want to go help. They all jumped in a car and they're driving to Beaumont now to pair up with Dale and Chris. Hey, Dale, you're seeing the same stuff going on there, aren't you, bud?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not that kind of devastation with the winds, but you know, the homes are gutted, and then they're living in their homes because they don't have no money to put sheetrock back up on their houses, you know. So, but I do concur with you about raising your children up in the ways and the fears of the admonition of the Lord, brother. You know, that's the way we raised our children too. You know, just got to take them out there, make it a family mission.
Dale, if I had my life to do over again, there's two changes I'd make. More kids. I'd have had more kids. And number two, less love of sports. I so missed the mark as a dad. Love sports. Kids love what I love. Oh, thank you, Lord. You hear that? Your kids are going to love what you love. Start at a young age. They see you being kind of lukewarm, kind of playing church, kind of doing the diddly thing at church. That's what they're going to be like too.
My son David cooked all the meat for our feeding. My son David did.
He wasn't out bird dogging chicks, huh? He went out there trying to get laid or anything like that. Is that what you're saying? He's home serving the Lord.
No, wow. Not even close.
Wow. Yep. So, you know, when we look at the condition of our kids, don't look much farther than dad, do you? Truth. Don't look much farther than daddy. Because they're going to like what their dad like. I, you know, I always get frustrated because I love my dad. I've been gone about 15 years. I don't know, long time. And I always get frustrated when I go to these things. I've never been on a bobcat in my life. I know what a hammer looks like and a screwdriver. Sometimes I can maybe figure out which ones I use. But other than that, my dad never showed me the first thing about fixing anything because he couldn't. Nobody ever showed him. And I get around guys like Rich and.
Yeah, muted, coach.
Quit muting me. I get around Rich and these guys, and I get intimidated because I've never been on a bobcat in my life. I wouldn't know which lever to hit. I can do a chainsaw. Maybe I could do a chainsaw. I can pick up a log and carry it. I know this. I didn't learn how to serve the Lord from my dad. God rest his soul. I learned how to serve the Lord from Flip Benham, Rusty Thomas, and Mark Harrington. Guys like Dale Socia, Cal Zastro.
Yeah, you learn from someone else's dad. That's right.
I learned from somebody else's dad. Somebody, amen. That's a great point, Chad. Somebody else's dad built into theirs. I befriended those guys and it impacted me.
Amen.
It impacted me. It did. And I don't mean to be melancholy. I just look. Let's look at what's going on around us. Say, Lord, help us. Hey, anybody want to jump in? I got something else. I got some other stuff I want to show you. I got some
good stuff.
Yes, Dale.
Coach, you have impacted me. You have impacted my family. Trust me. That is a mutual feeling. My wife and I, we absolutely love your preaching and how you bring it, brother. It's good stuff.
Amen. Amen.
Coach.
Amen.
Coach.
Listen, hang on just a second. I want to make this point. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And see, from the time I was knit together in my mother's womb, the Lord had a job for me. And even though my dad didn't train me how I should do it, my mom didn't train me, the Lord still was able to bring those people into my life who got me on track. Anybody, can somebody say amen to what I'm talking about? So whether you're 15 or whether you're 55, you're never too old, and the Lord can still bring somebody across your path that's going to impact your life. That's what I want to do. Who tried to get in here? Go ahead.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to encourage those who watch this show that it's never too late. Us grandpas have a lot to give to the Lord and our remaining time here before we go to see him. So just never look back, look forward, and serve Christ, the living King,
amen.
Where you're at.
Amen. You know what pumps me up? My little grandkids know what I do. Isn't that something? They know what I do. And a grandpa who's an activist isn't weird to them. Not weird to them. They're not ashamed of their grief. They don't get it all, but they know what I do. So I guess I'm still crying out to that baby boomer generation. Hey, dudes, you're not 6 foot under yet. You're not. Grab your grandkids. Say, well, I don't have any grandkids. I know that. Grab somebody else's grandkids. Go make a difference. Build a downline. I salute Rich again. What did Rich do? Rich shows up with Jim Bob. Who's Jim Bob? I don't know. But he came, worked harder than anybody else there. Rich builds a downline. You got to build a downline. I'm constantly saying that all the time. Build a downline. And most of us don't have one. We don't have one. Jim Kraft drove all the way from Gallipolis, Ohio, alone. He asked, who knows how many people he asked to come with him. Everybody's got an excuse. Everybody's got a reason why they can't do it. I'm glad the Lord wasn't too busy. Anybody else glad he wasn't too busy? Aren't you glad he didn't say to his dad, father there on Passover, hey, sorry, man, there's a big baseball game tonight. Can we do it next week? Reschedule this Passover meal? Do it next week? What, in fact, Jesus said, what? You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Wow, there you go. They'll be saying that about us too. They see you, they've seen the Father. Same Spirit raised Christ from the dead dwells inside each and every one of us. Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross, lest I as royal banner must not suffer loss. From victory into victory, his army shall we lead, till every foe's vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Man, oh man, are the fields ever white. One of the most amazing statements the Lord said was, pray for workers. Pray for workers. So there's always going to be plenty of work to do, but there ain't going to be very many people going to do it. That's to paraphrase the Bible. And now, think about this. In your life, those of you who are watching right now, you ask yourself this. How many folks you know like me? Like Dale Socia. I mean, pastors you know like that? You don't have to answer. I want it to sink in. Most of them, maybe if you dig real deep, you maybe think of one. Or you can think of a famous one, Franklin Graham. Okay, good. Another one? Are you sitting under one? Are you sitting under a pastor who's going to motivate you to get out in the streets and do something? Oh, you're not? Well, may I ask you a question? What the hell are you doing there? What are you doing there at the church then? Because you know the end result is? You're going to lose your kids. 75, 80% of them, you're going to lose them. Because it's just a game. It's like Santa Claus to them. Oh, Daddy, you said there's a Lord, there's a God, yeah. But you said there was an Easter bunny, and you said there was a Santa Claus. Oh, I get it, Daddy. I get it. To see you paint your face and go crazy and scream and holler for the Buckeyes and get mad when the Bengals lose or the Broncos lose, or get mad about all that, and then you don't give a damn about the fact they're killing a baby right down the street. Never lifted a finger ever in your whole life to do anything about it. Never spoke to your children about it. Never stood up in your church and say, why don't we do anything about it? Never did anything about it. But yet you go to your damn church. You go to your church on Sunday and talk about the Buckeyes and the Browns and the Bengals and everything. It doesn't matter. And then get mad when they don't stand up for the national. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Preach it, brother. Preach it.
I'm trying, Vince. I'm trying. It's just the truth. We look around, we want to hire mercenaries, Republicans. Oh, we can get that guy in office. We can get him in office. We got us a chance. We got Christians down in Alabama. Judge Moore ought to be winning by 90%. He's going to win, but it shouldn't even be close. Shouldn't even be close. Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
It's good, man. It's all good. Okay, so listen. Guys, 7:30 already? Love you, Rich, Jim, and Chad, and Jim Bob, Ray, all those guys. I got this video. I'm not going to show it to you now. Maybe I'll squeeze it in here tomorrow. This 8 minutes of glory for these guys on Hagman and Hagman the other night. Powerful. They were able to get on there. I'm going to shift gears on you right now. Because I said something yesterday, or picked up a subject yesterday. And of course, Right Wing Watch picked it up, and some others picked it up. And I rarely say anything casually. that I haven't deeply on this show that I haven't deeply thought through. I've got a lot more stuff I'd like to say that I haven't said. But I usually don't, if I haven't thought it through, I don't just speak from the cuff too much. You know what I'm saying? So yesterday, I did a little rant. I didn't get a chance to watch it. Maybe I need to go back and watch it. I did a little rant about the NFL and the destruction of another national institution. And I agree with Dale Socia that it needs, it'd be a good thing for the NFL to come down because it's become such an idol. Yet at the same time, it has been such a bond from generation to generation that has held families together. It's another attempt, as I believe, another attempt to destroy the family. The family. And somebody emailed me and said, Coach, you're crazier than hell, they said. Why would the NFL want to lose money? Well, maybe because they're not. Maybe because they're not. And maybe, just maybe, it's because there is a deeper, higher agenda going on. Psalm 2, Jared. A deeper agenda going on. We think it's entertainment, see? We just think it's entertainment. And everything around us is being either prostituted or destroyed. Everything around us is being poisoned. And we're being lured right in. I hate to keep coming back here. Why do the heathen rage? The people imagine a vain thing. People sit around and argue about whether people ought to pick a knee or not. Are you kidding me? But that's why they programmed. The kings of this earth set them up, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, right there it is, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together. So when I said to you yesterday that what was going on in the NFL is going on by design and by choice, some of you send me emails saying I'm crazy. Because you don't understand spiritual issues, see? You don't understand that you are either for him or you're against him. You either serve the Lord or you serve the devil. There is no middle ground. You don't get it. And I made the statement yesterday that it was a part of trying to destroy. Remember I said this, how I hated soccer? Why did I hate soccer? I've seen it happen. I was a football coach, an American football, they call it. I was an American football coach for 35 years. And I watched little 5 and 6 year old boys drug off over to the soccer field, and their daddies didn't even know what soccer was. Their daddies couldn't talk to their sons about, oh yeah, back when I played soccer. And then the boys could never talk to their dads about when they played football because they took them all and they stuck them over in soccer. I'm making some of you mad, but I don't care because I'm telling you the daggone truth. Why do you think they called American football? Why do you think they called the Cowboys America's team? When's the last soccer team is America's team? Can anybody, for $1,000 right now, Dale Socia will give you $1,000 if somebody can name for me one professional soccer team. Can somebody name one? I can't name one, a professional soccer team. And yet we got soccer fields everywhere. Why do we have soccer fields everywhere? Oh, do I have to say it, Lord? Okay, yeah. Because it takes a man to play football. And mommies don't like seeing their little boys get knocked down, so mommies put them into soccer, where they get little knee pads, and they don't really hurt each other. Although we know that soccer, you can get hurt in soccer. I'm not making light of it. Well, all of a sudden, you wake up, and I'm a grandpa. And what does grandpa get to do on Saturday morning? Go watch my grandson play football. No, the penguin. He run around hitting the ball with his head. And I can't relate. Never played soccer. If I could go to a football game and watch him get knocked on his butt, be able to tell him after the game, you know, that happened to me back when I was playing, too. Let me tell you what you do. But I can't help him with soccer. You guys think I'm crazy? I don't care. I'm telling you. Okay, so let me show you something. So why would they do that? Hey, Jared, you see, you mean those NFL owners, they want to lose money. Are you kidding me? They don't know who their fan base is. Hey, boys, let me tell you something. They don't care who their fan base is because they're on a different team. Is Sarge with us today?
I don't think so.
Sarge is traveling, I think, today. See, the other side, the deep state, call them whatever you want to, they know something that we don't know. They know something we don't know about money. Hey, Sarge. I'm sorry. Hey, Jared. Pulled up there, taxpayer funded. Here's why.
Subsidy.
Here's why the owners aren't pushing back.
Guilty of unsportsmanlike conduct? Americans love to watch football, but there's another game being played behind the scenes. 32 of America's richest men and families are getting massive tax breaks and tax subsidies. Billions of dollars of state and local taxes to build their stadiums, in many cases, millions of dollars paid directly to an owner or to a league called incentives, to literally bribe the league or the owner to stay. Here's some NFL statistics you don't usually hear. In Cincinnati, taxpayers will provide 94% of the $450 million for the stadium. And Cincinnati taxpayers will also be paying for future projects like ticketless entry systems and holographic replay machines. The Indianapolis Colts get $620 million from taxpayers. Green Bay Packers, $160 million. Kansas City Chiefs, $250 million. Dallas Cowboys, $325 million. Many of the owners are multi-billionaires, but that doesn't stop them from demanding hundreds of millions of dollars from taxpayers to fund their business. Stephen Ross has a $4.8 billion net worth, according to Forbes. He demanded $380 million from Miami taxpayers, and when rebuffed, he threatened to leave and started a political action committee to get his government funds. Arthur Blank, with $1.7 billion net worth, was more successful in Atlanta. He got $200 million in taxes to build a new stadium, even $6 million. The old one is only 21 years old. Of course, when you include interest on the bonds, the total bill to taxpayers will be $450 million. It appears that once you become a billionaire sports team owner, you can go on public welfare. We complain about individuals who milk the welfare system. How about billionaires who get hundreds of millions of dollars? Minnesota had a $1.1 billion deficit, but they still took on another $506 million in debt for the Vikings, a 50% increase in state debt. The for-profit franchises are getting hundreds of millions of dollars in taxpayer money for their billionaire owners, and the NFL itself is organized as a nonprofit trade association, saving them about $11 million in taxes each year, while the NFL's net income is about $20 million. But it's not just taxpayers getting fleeced by billionaires and fans getting their pockets picked for expensive tickets and licensed merchandise. The League of Billionaires is the eager partner of the federal government in the social engineering of a police state, partnering with the TSA personal fouls, encroachment, blocking below the waist, and illegal forward passes, all committed against their loyal fans, helpless spectators and passive couch potatoes mesmerized by spectacle while they're being robbed of their money and their rights by 32 of the wealthiest families in America. And now they've banned a wholesome, tasteful ad by Daniel Defense precisely because it tries to get men out of their passive stupor and take their rightful role as family protector. Stand up to these billionaires who are robbing you of both your money and your rights. Boycott the NFL. For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Knight.
There you go, man. There you go. See, and so you say, well, can somebody explain to me, no owner stood up against these guys? No owner? Why is that? Could there be some financial connection behind the scenes that we're not aware of? Every owner wanted to stand up and protect his players. Are you telling me every one of those football players are Hillary supporters? Am I supposed to believe that? What is going on? See, fellas, there's something far deeper and bigger behind the scenes that the average, if you don't have spirit eyes, you can't see it.
I think it's lobbyists.
We have lobbyists. I don't care what it is. See, those owners, they're getting all kinds of money. Their product's worth, that's worth billions of dollars. They're not worried about that. Because why? They don't have the heart of the Lord. They're not serving the Lord. They're not serving America. You think they're serving America? Did you know up until 2009, the football players were not required to be out on the football field for the national anthem? And it wasn't until the federal government ponied up a huge amount of money to the NFL that the NFL would begin to promote patriotism because of the wars that the players went out on the field. And the NFL at that point did everything they could to be more patriotic. And now all of a sudden, everything's The government's decided we're going to go the other way. The deep state hates Trump. So what are we going to do? And see, we sit back. We think Trump doesn't get it. See, he gets it far more than you guys even understand that he does. And I'd tell you this, on the bottom of my heart, if you don't stand with him now, you think it's just about a football game, baby. Oh, my Lord, wake up. Oh, somebody jump in here.
Amen.
Hey, Coach, real quick. Coach?
Yes.
Go ahead, George. I'll let you go first.
Okay. Hey, I was going to say, I'll predict that once the NFL thing runs its course, then it'll be, they'll come after something like Christmas. And really, although I know there's.
They already got it.
Although, there's flaws in the NFL, but what people need to wake up and realize, this is cultural Marxism. They're trying to change the fundamental fabric of the American culture. Whether we agree with everything or not, that's really the root, in my opinion.
You got it, George. Go ahead, Dale. Then I got another video. Jared, get the one up there that says, what does it say? Go ahead.
I was watching the news last night, just catching up on some local stuff. We actually have a representative coming out, and he says, we are going to file a bill to remove the tax exemption from the New Orleans Saints. Come on, brother.
Well, they'll leave town. They'll find somebody who'll pay them. Hey, Jared, it says Illuminati. Illuminati. Now, guys, listen. You don't have to have a tinfoil hat. It's okay if you don't. You can go to your Super Bowl party at your church. Okay, because, see, we understand, don't we? Come on now. Hey, come on. Hey, Dale, how many people at your church? Maybe your church is different. Let's put it this way. How many men sitting in the church who won't get off their butt and do anything for the Lord are sitting in church looking at their watch on Sunday, wanting to make sure they're home at 1 o'clock when the game starts? How many think that would be, Dale?
Oh, well, I don't know about their church, not my church.
Yeah, but not yours. But you get what I'm saying, though, right? How about your church, Serge? They doing that at your church?
I don't go to church, Coach.
All right.
You're my church.
Yeah, I'm at church right now.
Okay, hey, boy. Yes, Vince.
I just want to throw in. Can I throw in that the NFL is completely fixed anyway, and we shouldn't be.
Sure, you can. We don't want to believe that. We don't want to believe that. But well, so let's do this, boys and girls. Sit back. It's 9 minutes. I'm sorry, but I got to do it because you see, you think that the NFL is just for entertainment, but they're being funded by the government. By the way, wouldn't that be the same deep state government that Trump's fighting against? I think it is. Could be wrong. And is it just me or are all these NFL owners bought off with government money, sucking off the government tit? Yeah, they are. That's right. Well, sit down, buckle up, relax, because here's the other team's real game plan. Go ahead, Jared.
All right, here we go. How's it going, guys? White Rabbit here. The 2016 halftime show is upon us. And just as is seen in seemingly every passing year, our society is again primed and ready to ingest the propagandized indoctrination showcasing the beliefs and ideologies held by the satanic ruling elite, notoriously known as the Illuminati. You see, a worldwide televised event such as the Super Bowl, which is viewed by hundreds of millions of people, is a wonderful opportunity for the elite to infuse subtle yet significant indoctrination into the minds of the viewers who never bother to question the talking pictures flickering on their screen. The Illuminati love showing off their Babylonian mysticism and esoteric symbolism through satanic rituals, and the vast majority of people never even realize what it is that they're watching. But upon realizing that Satan is referred to as the Prince of the Power of the Air, it's really no wonder that the satanic elite would utilize the music industry to showcase these elaborate rituals in a means of propagating their Luciferian dogmas. Whether by way of Madonna's Throne, Katy Perry's Game of Chess, or Beyoncé's Split Personality, let's take a moment to re-examine the halftime shows of yesteryear to get a fuller understanding of what exactly we're being shown.
First of all, it's the Super Bowl. I mean, the Super Bowl is kind of like the holy of holies in America, right? So, like, here I am. I'm going to come into the halfway between, like, the church experience, and I'm going to have to deliver a sermon that's going to have to be very impactful.
At the time, Madonna may have seemed like an odd choice for the 2012 Super Bowl. But then again, Madonna is no stranger to performing occult rituals during her performances. Whether she's surrounded by demons, dancing with scantily clad nuns who are stripping on poles in the shape of a crucifix, or delivering an occult sermon in probably the most offensive and blasphemous performance I have ever seen in my life, it really shouldn't have been much of a shock to watch Madonna steal the stage for the Super Bowl 46 halftime show as she rode in upon her Illuminati throne.
And I'm gonna have to deliver a sermon that's gonna have to be very impactful.
Aside from dancing alongside depictions of Baphomet and a fallen angel, this halftime show performance also had its fill of subliminal messaging, featuring a winged sun disc, which Egyptian mystics used for ritualistic magic, a quite noticeable mark of the beast, complete with ox symbolism, and a depiction of Madonna performing on a Masonic altar, where she is literally inside the inner circle between two Masonic pillars on a stage in the shape of the infamous Illuminati owl representing the Roman goddess Minerva. But the real focal point of this Illuminati ritual for me was during the closing song, where Madonna took the stage with the gospel choir standing before the Illuminati all-seeing eye and openly worshiping Lucifer when she sings her famous song, Like a Prayer. And for those of you who are still a little bit new to this Illuminati stuff, realize that in the Encyclopedia of Superstitions, Folklore, and the Occult Sciences of the World, it is outlined that in order to obtain the power and the secrets of witchcraft, it is necessary to visit a courtyard at midnight and cut off the hand of a recently dead corpse. Furthermore, midnight is actually the witching hour. And the witching hour refers to the time of night when creatures such as witches, demons, and ghosts are thought to appear and to be the most powerful, and black magic to be the most effective. So when Madonna says, which god do you think that verse is talking about? And then when she adds, where do you think she's trying to take you? Switching gears from blatant witchcraft and satanic rituals to the seemingly mundane by comparison performance in 2013, when Beyoncé took the stage at the Super Bowl halftime show. Despite flashing the Illuminati hand sign or the giant illuminated eye taking center stage during the final number, this relatively tame halftime show performance showcased one of the Illuminati's and Hollywood's darkest agendas.
I raised my hands up, and it was kind of the first time I felt something else come into me.
During this performance, Beyoncé showcased her alter ego, Sasha Fierce.
All right, let's talk about the difference between Beyoncé and Sasha Fierce. There's a, and Sasha Fierce is, she's on the CD. Are you on the CD at all? Because the CD is I Am Sasha Fierce, and it's someone different.
Yeah.
Did you make that name up?
I did.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
This agenda penetrates the Hollywood culture and is known by many researchers as MKUltra.
And it blows my mind, but that's the culture. It's a culture of fear for sure. You know, and it's a big culture of mind control too. MKUltra mind control rules in Hollywood. If you don't know, Google that and look into it.
This soul partitioning campaign known as MKUltra was flaunted across the Super Bowl stage. Soul partitioning and MKUltra techniques utilize demon possession by breaking down an individual's psyche into many different fragmented pieces, which are then more malleable and easier for a demon spirit to take possession of. And the victims of this agenda in Hollywood are easy to detect.
Roman is a crazy boy who lives in me, and he says the things that I don't want to say.
While this can be invoked many different ways, both voluntarily or drug-induced, the most common technique utilized in Hollywood is through childhood abuse and torture techniques.
You know, there's a lot of good people in this industry, but there's also a lot of really, really sick, corrupt people in this industry. And there are people in this industry who have gotten away with it for so long that they feel they're above the law. And that's got to change. That's got to stop.
This very real and very disturbing, relatively unknown agenda was depicted and showcased all throughout Beyoncé's performance. From the stage itself depicting two faces mirroring each other, to her emulating Shiva, the goddess of destruction, splitting off into multiple different personalities, illustrating the fragmentation of an individual's psyche, to the shattering window of an individual's soul. And with all the black and white symbolism prevalent throughout the performance, it isn't difficult to figure out who's responsible for these agendas. But the true hallmark came at the end of her performance, when she kneeled on the altar to sing her song Halo. What you may not realize is that Halos is the personification of the sun in Greek mythology, and is closely identified with the god Apollo, the god of light. In all actuality, Beyoncé's closing performance was not simply her singing one of her top hits, but in all actuality her giving thanks and praise and worshiping before millions of people the Luciferian god. Closing out our list is the queen herself appearing in the 2015 halftime show, Katy Perry.
That's how I got introduced to the music industry. I swear I wanted to be like the Amy Grant of music.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out, and so I sold my soul to the devil.
As a high-level Illuminati witch, Katy Perry has dabbled in a little bit of everything, from openly practicing satanic rituals on stage, to music videos promoting everything from bestiality to MKUltra, to homosexuality and Illuminati ideologies. She even took her own artistic liberties with the witch from Hansel and Gretel. So when it came time to choose a musical artist to represent the Whore of Babylon, Katy Perry was undoubtedly the obvious choice. Dressed in flames to represent a phoenix, Katy Perry took to the checkerboard stage where the pieces for the ultimate Illuminati halftime show fell into place. Capping off both ends of the performance representing the light of Lucifer, this Freemasonic ritual went right under the noses of the general public. With performances from Coldplay and Beyoncé in this year's upcoming halftime show, there's no telling what the elite have planned for us this year. So make sure to stay tuned to this channel for my upcoming...
So which side do you suppose those NFL owners are on? Do you think this stuff's going on and they don't know it? Is money their god? Is it not unusual to you that no NFL team is standing against it? Now, I understand last night, Larry, maybe you can fill us in. I didn't watch last night, but the media lied about what took place before the football game last night. Can you fill us in on that, Larry?
Well, they didn't really lie. They just misrepresented it. The way they wrote it up, it was like the whole Dallas Cowboy team owners and everybody was linked together in solidarity against Trump. What it was is they were linked together in solidarity to be in unison that, you know, we want to unify that this is one nation. We're one people, even though we're different. And those who are oppressed, we need to make them part of the, you know, part. It was a show of unity. It wasn't a show of disrespect for Trump or against Trump. But Larry, the media sure made it look like that, and they reported it like that.
Folks, why would that be? Why would all of a sudden all these football players and all these – why would they all of a sudden appear to be against Trump? Wow. Deep state, make America great again, globalism. Where the NFL owners get their money. And the last thing that they could ever permit would be a guy like Tim Tebow boldly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, can't have that. I'm going to show you something. Oh, I got time, don't I? Yeah, I got time. Hey, Jared, pull up NFL stars. It's the last thing.
Hey, while he's doing that, one good thing at the game last night, the gal who sang the national anthem, she had written on her hands that it could be seen while holding the mic, Proverbs 31:8-9. And that's speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. So she snuck one in on them, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. Sounds like it. So Larry, let's go here, Jared. Let's go to NFL stars, right? How many stars are there? Hey, stop a minute. Can somebody tell me right now one NFL Christian star? I'm just going to put it on pause here a minute. Somebody tell me one.
The quarterback for the Oakland Raiders or Los Angeles Raiders.
What's his name?
I don't know because I don't follow football. I've heard his testimony. He talked about
Derek Carr. Hang on, go ahead. Anybody else?
I was going to say Tim Tebow, but they kicked him out for not fixing games.
Give me another one. So I can give you one. Benjamin Watson. They're trying to throw him out. Throw him out of the league too, because he's a twofer. He's black and a Christian. You can't be having that stuff going. Can't be having. So I thought this morning I'm going to Google NFL's Christians. Top nine. And you know why? You don't even know who they are. You know why they don't know who they are? Because they hide who they are. Because they know you can't be a Christian in the NFL publicly. They'll get rid of you. Hold it up there, Jared. Let's see how many of these guys are household names here. Let's see. NFL stars that are Christian.
Drew Brees is one.
Here we go. Corey Lynch, San Diego Chargers. Corey Lynch. There's a big name, isn't it? Huh? When's the last time you seen Corey Lynch doing? He might be. I'm not making fun of Corey. Okay? He ain't a household name. Indiana Colts, Matt Hasselbeck, number two. Oh, he once wrote, "For I know the plans that I have for you." He once wrote that on his sock. Oh, how about Carolina Panthers, R.J. Stanford? There's a household name for you. New Orleans Saints, Drew Brees. Well, good for Drew Brees. He is a pretty active Christian. But I don't see his Christianity being. Wouldn't you think the NFL would be putting a guy like him up in the lights a little bit more? Russell Wilson, Seattle Seahawks, Russell Wilson. He's a top nine, according to somebody here. Arizona Cardinals, Jay Feely. Oh, he's a Catholic. St. Francis of Assisi. Seattle Seahawks, Russell Okung. These are household names, ain't they, baby? See, as soon as Tim Tebow started praising the Lord and getting on his knee and drawing people to Christianity, what happened to Tim Tebow? See, you're allowed to be a Christian in the NFL. Just don't act like it. Don't publicize it. Be one of those quiet ones that goes and hides in the pew. Somebody say amen, because I just knocked a home run right there.
Amen, brother.
Sure did. Amen.
Uh-huh. And an entire NFL. The entire NFL, let there be no mistake about it, is against Trump. Is that by accident? Can you imagine if they tried to pull this crap with Obama? Anybody imagine? No, he's one of their boys, wasn't he? He was one of their boys. Where am I? 3 minutes ago. Somebody help me wrap it up. Say, Coach, this is good. Man, this opened my eyes today, Coach. It's all
right control. Little video I sent to you earlier, Coach. It was it's very educational on the writing of the Star Spangled Banner by Francis Scott Keyes. What stood out in that video is when he quoted from George Washington about that flag, because the Brits said if they will lower that flag, we won't bomb that barracks. And Francis Scott Keyes, George Washington, said, "As a Christian, we'd rather die standing than kneel living."
Amen, brother. So, Dale, let's ask ourselves this, folks. Come on. How many NFL stars you see holding that banner high, that Christian banner high? How many you see? Why was it when Tim Tebow became the most popular athlete in the world, the NFL shunned him? The NFL threw him out of the league. And then he's playing baseball, minor league baseball, huge crowds everywhere they go. They're going to bring him up with the big club because people love Tim Tebow. And if we think the NFL is in the marketing, then can somebody explain to me why the most famous athlete in America doesn't have a place in the NFL? You connect the dots. You can connect them, can't you? So it's the same thing, see, the same message that's being sent everywhere we go. Coach, you're a great football coach, and we're glad you're a football coach, but don't wear that Christianity on your sleeve. Put that thing in your back pocket. You can keep coaching. You can keep coaching public schools as long as you want to, Coach. Just keep that thing back in your pocket. You can do that. You can go to the bars and get drunk, You can have girlfriends all around town. Everybody knows who your girlfriends are. You can do that, but coach, keep that Christianity back in your pocket. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Because the kings of the earth and the rulers take charge against the Lord and his anointing. Don't miss what's going on. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.